Welcome to the Progression Health Podcast. I'm here with Preston Root. Preston, do you want to introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yeah. Thanks, Ross. First, just thanks for having me on. My name is Preston Ruth. Ran track at the University of Tennessee for 4 years. I've run competitively for 10. I'm wrapping up school right now, so I was going to have a fifth year track, but an injury last year kept me from doing that. But in this year, I've been able to start posting content on social media with YouTube, with TikTok, with Instagram. Started my own running brand called Run Yours. I have a lot of cool stuff planned for this year. So that's a little bit about myself.
Great. A lot to talk about there. So what is your actual experience in like racing, competing? What's like your specialty?
Yeah, so I was an 800 meter runner in college. High school, I kind of ran everything that was above the 400, but college, the coach that had brought me in saw a lot of potential with the 800, and so he focused me with that. And so all through college, that was the main event that I ran. I wanted to run the mile, but my coaches were pretty adamant on me just sticking to the 800. Never ran cross country in college, so was more, you know, a true mid-distance guy. That was kind of my specialty during my time when I ran competitively. So
nice. Are you currently working with clients? Are you coaching people yourself, or are you focused more on your own running?
Right now, I'm focused on my own running. This summer, fall, I did have some clients. When I started doing TikTok, I was able to, you know, get a lot of clients to the videos that I posted. But that was, you know, kind of a summer fall thing, especially for cross country. You know, I had some high school runners that were interested in some training plans for cross country. I got a kid that I'm about to start training for track. So kind of an in between point with this winter, which has given me a lot of time to focus on my own training and trying to build my own training plan.
Great. And what's your kind of philosophy for running, or your approach, or your own kind of style with your running? And then if you're like coaching somebody else, what do you try and kind of focus on or get across to people?
I think the first thing is just finding gratitude in it. You know, I think running is such a great sport, and we can get so caught up in all the numbers and the training and paces that we kind of just lose the love for it. And sometimes it's just as simple as just throwing on your shoes and going out and just enjoying a run. And so I first want people to find joy in that. I think as well, for me, it's having a huge why am I running? And I did make a YouTube video about that, and some of the influences that helped me, you know, get into running. Faith is a huge part of who I am. And so I want for the people that I coach to also find a big why. You know, why are you running? And then goals should be based around that. And goals are different for each person. And so I think, you know, I also started my brand that's called Run Yours. That's helping people to redefine success, to set goals that fit them and really find gratitude in running their own race. And so that's kind of my philosophy with training, with coaching. And I think it helps get the best out of people. And I just think it's a different approach to what we're seeing on social media with certain approaches, and some coaches that I've had in the past. That's not been the case with some coaches. So I think I've learned more from the coaches I don't want to be like. I've been blessed with some great coaches, but I think there's a lot of things I've learned of like, I don't want to do that. This made this person feel, or how it made me feel. And so I think I've taken just a lot away in my 10 years running.
That's great. I love the idea of, you know, being intentional about why you run and not just for a PR. And for me, I'm only running about like 2.5 years, but I run because I really love to like try my best at something and just see what result comes of it. It's like there's something exhilarating about going 100% and lifting. I'm a personal trainer. So, you know, when I lift, it actually just sort of, it's almost like I prove myself wrong. Sounds kind of odd, you know, prove yourself wrong. But it's like the doubt I have, that part of me that has a bit of doubt about like, you're athletic or you're strong. It's like, I sort of see, oh, I am strong. I am athletic. So for you, what is your kind of why? And what are some of the kind of the whys that you've helped clients sort of unearth?
Yeah, I think for me, one, I've mentioned this before, but you know, faith, Jesus Christ has kind of been a huge part of my life. He's given me this gift of running. I'm called to use that. I'm called to be a good steward of that. When that's been the center point, like I found so much joy with that because it truly is a gift. It's something that is given and can also be taken away. And so just enjoying the time I have now, I think that's kind of been my big why. I think it takes the pressure off of having to do well with the competitions. You know, I'm a very competitive person. I want to do my best, but that's not my identity. The place I get, the time I run, those are all great goals to have, but just being able to be grateful for just getting out to go and run. And I think when I got hurt this past year, that also was just kind of a shock of like, it really made me rethink, what is my why? Have I been grateful? Have I been entitled that I was a D1 runner? And now that's taken away and I don't have that anymore. And so I think I really want my clients to enjoy where they are, you know, whether they're in middle school, high school, college, they're a 40-year-old that just wants to run a road race. Doesn't matter the stage of life, finding, you know, gratitude as well as just enjoying the journey. I think it's, you know, I've said those two words a lot, but I really do mean it. That I think it just changes the way you look at the sport. You're not forcing it. And just the results are going to start to come when you're consistent and when you're enjoying it. So
interesting. So You mentioned the running being taken away and you got injured. Talk about how that happened and what you learned.
Going into my fourth year, we got a new coaching staff. This was my third mid-distance coach in 4 years. The previous year, I had been doing like 20 miles a week. It was very speed, power focused. And then this new coach came in and he bumped me up to like 55 to 60 miles a week. Not as much strength training. And I ended up bulging a disc in my back. It wasn't a sudden movement, but just over time, I just had some pain, got an MRI on it, missed 8 weeks of running, rehab. So I missed all of indoor track, rehabbed really hard to get back. And in the spring, things just weren't clicking. And I had a conversation with the coaches and kind of let them know I was on the fence about coming back to run my fifth year. And they basically told me, we don't have a spot for you next year. So like that decision should be pretty easy for you. And so it was then when it's like, this is my last season. Like I've got one more year of outdoor track. And I had a race. It was my senior day race. So it was our last home meet, my first race back in basically a year, and just didn't run well. And that next week they're like, you should race the rest of the season. And so it was like, that was it. And so it was just kind of like, I knew it was coming to the end, but the way that it ended was just like, wow. And I think it just made me completely rethink my mindset on health, fitness, on well-being, on my approach to all those things. I think for a while that was really, really tough, but I am thankful that it happened. I think the place I'm at now, how I've used all those things in my daily life now, and my daily practices and how I'm approaching not just running, but fitness in general and actually being healthy. Just a lot of the little things that when you're a college kid, you kind of think you're invincible to. I kind of was a little cocky and thought I could just not stretch and not do all these things and still run well. And so I think it just made me very, very much more intentional with how I approach those small things that are really easy to miss. But when you don't do them, that's how injury happens. That's how burnout happens. And so, tough circumstance, but I think the lessons it's taught me is something I'm very thankful.
Yeah, that's a great mindset to have to learn from, let's say like failure or setback, because it's an opportunity to learn, which is sort of the goal in that situation. Yeah. One of the posts you had was 3 running mistakes I made, you don't have to. I feel as though as a new runner myself, I made a lot of mistakes. It's like, it's almost a guarantee. I don't know many people who didn't make a lot of mistakes when they started. So what are some of the big mistakes people make and what can you pass on that you've learned?
Yeah. I mean, one, I think mistakes are necessary. I'll start by saying that. I don't think you can avoid them. I think you need to go through them. I want to help people not make the mistakes that I made, but I also think there's a beauty in learning things yourself and kind of trial by fire. And you probably can attest to all the things you learned from those mistakes. While it was frustrating in the moment, those were all things that have helped you become a better runner. I think for me, the biggest thing is just overtraining. I think everyone sees these pro runners on social media. I think we see all these cool posts or see Strava and we think, okay, that's how I need to go train. And so I think we're bombarded with so much information and so many reels and cool videos that make training kind of glorified, but doesn't show the impact that it has on your body if you aren't intentional with how you set up your training. So if you're just starting, going for a 16-mile long run is how you're going to get hurt, or just doing things that you see on Strava or on social media. It's just really easy to, with a lot of my new runners, is feeling like they need to train like pros. And it's like, you aren't there yet. And that's okay. And so I think to avoid overtraining, one is just running easy. And, everyone says that, truly running easy and going less off of heart rate and pace, but like how your body feels. And so I think when people start doing that, focusing on strength training, which I know is another one of your questions, but things like that, that are just kind of those foundation and those building blocks that are going to, it's that bottom part of the pyramid. And I think that's how you avoid the overtraining, is not trying to start with the very, I think not training the mental side is another thing I've seen a lot. There's a lot of people think running is, I just need to run miles. And that's true, but you can do all the little things and not address the mental side and kind of miss out. And I saw firsthand with college. My sophomore year was a perfect example. I was in the best shape of my life, but couldn't put it together for races. And I never knew why. And it was, I mentally was not tough. I mentally didn't have confidence, faith, faith in my training, trust in my coaches, faith in myself. I think a lot of people have self-doubt, kind of have that imposter syndrome of like, I could never go do that, or I'm not good enough. So I think self-talk is huge. But yeah, those are some mistakes I've seen some runners make, and some that I still struggle with. I sit here and I'm like, hey, that's something daily, that I have to remind myself of. So it's kind of a never-ending process.
Totally. Yeah. You're just constantly trying to learn. You don't want to stagnate. Something that strikes me is you obviously got injured. You had a setback. I feel like you've made the most of it and you've kind of almost become a coach in a sense. Do you feel like had you been running more, not had an injury, that you wouldn't have focused on this at all, and maybe you wouldn't be helping other people? Is that like another potential outcome?
Yeah, I mean, 100%, because if I don't get injured, you know, let's say the season goes well, I'm probably running this year still. I don't think it ever would have crossed my mind to help out the next generation of runners or people with their running journey. Because I think when I got hurt and got to a place where I was rehabbing, it was kind of the beginning of, it was this time last year when the idea of doing content and coaching kind of crossed my mind. So I think at some point I would have gone to coaching, but I just think it would have been different. And maybe the busyness of life would have just kept going and I wouldn't have ever actually gotten started with it. 100% agree with that.
Yeah, it just strikes me that's the case. So with the brand, the company Run Yours, what is sort of like, where does that name come from? What's the whole idea behind that?
Yeah, so really two things. I had great parents that were always at all my meets growing up. And my dad ran in college. Kind of, he would always tell me stuff at the line as I'm about the race. And he would always tell me to run my own race. He just would say that. He'd say, run your race. And there's this song by J. Cole. It's called Love Yours. Basically being grateful for your life, not envying others, and kind of came up with the name. That's why I have the Z on there. You know, he spells yours, you know, with the Z. That kind of came to me this past summer. I was just brainstorming names. And I was like, I don't know what I want it to be, but I just want people to have their own journey, their own path, and be grateful for it and be able to, again, it's like I said before, but just being able to redefine success. And I just think there's so much, you get so much more from running when that is your mindset. And I think I was just tired of, I needed some freshness from the just, I guess, competitive fire that D1 running is, where it's just so much bottom line, you know, you run the times or you don't. But I think for a lot of people that aren't running D1 or that just want to get into running, like that's not their mindset. And so I was also looking for that too. I was looking to run my own race finally. And so I tell a lot of people, like, the content that I make, like, it starts with my set. Like, I'm also, like, learning from this. Like, the videos that I'm making is almost preaching to myself, too. Like, the posts that I make, the things I'm doing is a reminder to me to, you know, to go and to run my race. That's kind of where the name came from and kind of why I started the brand.
I like it. Yeah, it's like a personal story and has significance to you. And I think that's what matters most. So yeah. Speaking of racing, I think running your own race in racing is... it's like the skill of all skills within a race itself, because adrenaline is flying. You're just like caught up in the rush, the buzz, PR is this, trying to get this time. It's just so difficult. But especially with the half marathon, the longer distances, keeping your heart rate down, which is one of your posts, it's like, it's really important. Like that was something I was focusing on in my most recent race 2 weeks ago. I was just focusing on the heart rate. So how can someone have an effective mindset going into a race and also keep the heart rate down and not kind of blow up early?
Yeah. I mean, I think both of those start with training. I think it goes back to having a goal. So if you go into a race, it's good to have a time goal. I think you don't want to get so in your mind about, I have to hit this goal, but you need a time goal to kind of give you some training paces. And I think when I've worked on one, pacing and form, I think are two big things. A coach would tell me, it's not only hitting the paces, it's how smooth can you look while doing them? How well can you maintain good form? And when I'm able to train and hit my paces while also being smooth, like my heart rate's going to stay consistent. I think it goes back to, with the adrenaline, it's really easy to run sporadically. So go out fast, slow down, kind of, you know, there's the crowd and you speed up again. And there's this constant kind of switching back and forth that I think leads to the heart rate jumping, spiking, and kind of raising before you want it to. So I think in races, just telling people, hey, like, let's have a good race plan. Let's stick to the paces we've run while we've trained. And then with training, it's okay, like, let's figure out your goal time. Let's have some runs that are going to help you reach that goal time. Let's have some workouts that's going to help you have efforts that's going to feel like the race. I think a lot of people kind of miss that, where it's like, you need to almost train your heart to get used to that effort that you're running. Because if you've never run your race pace until race day, it's going to spike your heart rate. And I think also part of it too is, in the race, at some point, you know, the heart rate is going to spike. If you're really pushing yourself, like, there's going to be a point where your heart rate is starting to rise. And that's when it's like telling yourself, you know, those positive self-talk mantras, but, you know, focusing on, you know, having good form. So I think that's some of the things. And one, it's going to be a journey for me. I was an 800 meter runner in college. So I ran two laps. I wasn't thinking. I just would go out and run. I think with a half marathon and a distance that's longer, you have so much more time to think and to be in the race and to go through the ebbs and flows. And so I'm excited for that journey of figuring that out myself. But those are two things that I think would really help with an effective mindset, and as well with just keeping your heart rate in check so that you don't blow up too early during a race.
Yeah, I love that. It is possible to keep the heart rate down. You don't have to blow up, even though it is really common. So, you know, we spoke off air about the races you have coming up, and you mentioned having a race day plan. And personally, I think it's really important to have like multiple goals on race day so that your first goal doesn't go to plan. You have something to fall back on. So how do you approach a race in terms of preparation, planning, and the actual race plan?
Yeah, I think with the race plan, I think I'll give an example. I'm doing a 10 miler next Saturday. So my goal is to win the race. Like I'd like to go win. So basically I will kind of walk through each checkpoints. I think it's a great way with those longer races is like, okay, by this mile, I'd like to be in this position. I'd like to be running this pace. Since I'm winning, it's easier for me to say, I'd like to be in this pack by this point of the race. If you're just going for a half marathon or maybe your goal is just to go run the race, it's harder to base your checkpoint off that, but more, okay, I want my pace or I'd like to come through 8 miles at this time. I think having checkpoint goals that you've hammered into your mindset so that you toe that line and you know where you're supposed to be at mile six, mile 10, mile... And so I think for next Saturday, you know, I kind of have my plan through 2 miles, through 5 miles, through 8 miles of where I want to be, knowing the course. So knowing like, okay, like there's going to be some hills from miles 2 through 5. So I need to be careful I don't blow up during that. Stay patient, stay conservative. And then mile 6 through 8, I can really make up some ground. I've got some downhills. So not that everyone has to be that strategic, but I think with road racing, it does help to know the course a little bit. The half marathon that I'm running is also going to be kind of hilly. So knowing, and depending on where you're from in the country, like there's going to be some hilly races, you know, could be flat and that's great, but knowing your terrain, knowing what the race is going to play out like. And I think having like a race plan, it's very calming come race day. Being able to walk through what your plan is, I think it kind of just helps settle you down. I think the nerves can talk you out of your race plan. And so I would kind of tell myself like, this is my race plan. I love what you said about the multiple goals because I think it's great to have a dream goal, but also there's days where it's just not your day. And I tell people that like, don't go into a race saying it's not your day. But when you're in the race, there's times where it's like, man, like my body's not responding today. I'm not feeling great. You know, the weather's not good. There's things that are going to come up that are going to keep you from always hitting that dream goal. So having some other goals to fall back on to where you don't just completely fall apart, because you get to a point in the race where if you have one goal and you realize that you aren't going to reach it, it's like, all right, screw it. Like I'm not going to get there. And you completely fall apart instead of kind of just, you know, breath. Hey, you know, it's not going to be this goal today, but I can still run this time. I can still get this place. I can still go and do this. So I think it's just so huge. And I think it helps more mentally than physically. I think it's just such a good mental practice to kind of get you, you know, in the right mindset for racing.
Totally. Because like on race day, there's so many distractions and things going on and things that can throw you off course. So to have that grounding plan is huge. I love how you're putting your goal out there, you know? So there's another YouTuber, Matt Fox, he has, you know, Sweat Elite, and he talks about putting out big goals out there. And if you fail, you fail, but kind of being accountable. So to say you're going to win the race, it's pretty big goal. I'm going to assume your training is going, it must be going as good as you could hope. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, I think the volume has gotten finally to where I'd like it to be. This summer, I ran a road race, but just did not train how I needed to run. And what I assumed was going to happen happened. I knew that if someone took it out hard, my body was not ready to handle that pace for that long. And so this time around, I've really focused on building higher mileage, 2 really good workouts per week, and the rest of my runs pretty easy. And one of my big workouts is just doing, you know, what I call, it's called a quality long run. So first half of my long runs at pretty controlled pace. And then once my legs are a little tired, I really start to cut it down. And so I do, you know, 14 or so for my long runs, and the last 7 will be, you know, pretty quick. So, and these are all solo. So most of my efforts have been solo and being able to kind of see what I've done. I did a 5 mile tempo the other day on a treadmill. And so seeing where I'm at and looking at past results from this race and kind of seeing who could be back. I think I'll have some people to run with. I think just the biggest thing is with how long the race is, being patient. So just trusting that I'm fit to really rip the last half. Yeah.
You're in a great place. I love that you've done the research on times. You're not just like pulling it out of the sky, and that you actually have the training to back it up, because that was a big mistake I made early in running is like, I want to run this time. So that's the time I'm going to run. And it's like, yeah, but what about your training? I never considered like, it's such a silly mistake looking back, but I was just like, oh yeah, I want to run like 90 minutes for the half or whatever. And it's like, yeah, but you're only going to do as well as you've been doing in training. It's not right. Like you're going to pull it out. I thought I could pull a 10 or 20% improvement in performance on the day. And it's like, that is not how the body works. Have you had experience with that?
Yeah, I think that's such a good thing that people need to hear is you can't just show up and expect to run well on race day if you've not put in the work. I think sometimes you can maybe surprise yourself. Like sometimes it can kind of be the perfect race, but you don't need to go into it expecting that. I think the best racing has come when I've worked my butt off in training and I've just left it out there. You know, that's a Nick Simmons quote. He's talked about that before, but I really think that hard work in training and kind of suffering in training like will translate. And so even in college, you know, I look at the years that I had some good races and it was also too, just a confidence. And I think that's what finding again is just this confidence of like, I can go out there and run well. And running well is relative to each person. I tell people that. I talk to somebody that isn't a competitive college runner. Hey, like, don't look at me and be like, I'm not a good runner, because your goals are different. Like our goals are different. It'd be like if I looked at the guy that just won the half marathon in Chicago, like he's way faster than me. I'm not gonna feel as good. So I think I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but I do feel like having just so consistent training and mentally just feeling like I can go out here and crush this race, I think that's helped me have the most success instead of just, oh, well, I should be able to do fine and not really put in the work beforehand and like guess that this time is what I could run. And so I think the research has really helped of like, okay, like I've been doing a tempo at this, or I've done this long run here, like I should be in this shape. So I think it's been helpful.
Yeah, I think setting realistic expectations individualized to the person and the training they've done is huge, you know, for me at least, so that I know what to expect on race day. And just something that I really focus on that I have no idea if this is kind of like general thinking with racing specifically, but you know, I saw Kiptoom break the world record. I was like blown away by the negative split aspect of that. And I hear, I'm not like at your level, but I hear that negative splitting is kind of like where people set their PRs, they typically negative split. How important is that to you? And how important would you say that should be for other runners on race day?
I think for me, it's different just because of the races that I've run with college. I was 800 guy, so I'm sort of getting into this longer distance. I think it just goes back to pays. I think when you negative split, like you're trusting your training is going to hit at the right time. And I think some people have this fear that like they have to go out so hard and they end up kind of dying out and don't exactly, you know, it kind of goes back to, you know, the blowing up, where I think when you're just like, hey, like this is my plan. Like I'm going to go out. I'm not going to let this group of guys or girls kind of drag me out. Like I'm going to run my race. I've done my training. And I think that's why negative splitting has paid off so much. And I think that's something that I'm interested to research more just now that I'm getting into road racing. I did run it at the D1 level, but I think there's a lot that I'm still learning. You know, a lot of this road race stuff is new to me, which does excite me, and something that I want to be transparent about with the people that do watch me is like, I'm still learning. I'm not someone that's over here that knows everything, that's experienced, all these different things. Like I am excited to learn as well. And so that's something that's a whole nother topic about being transparent as a content creator. But I do think with your question about the negative splitting, I do think it's important. I just think it goes back to runners, you know, just trusting their training and not letting the group that's going to go out and really just hammer from the beginning kind of throw them off their race plan.
Yeah. Again, kind of run yours almost, you know, just come back to whatever.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
What your plan is. Yeah, exactly. Right. So another video you had that I liked was 5 things to be a more consistent runner. And I think it's difficult to be a consistent runner because, again, it's hard to run your own race. You get injured. Life just comes at you. So what are some tips you have for people and, you know, things you focus on yourself to be more consistent?
Yeah, I think first of all, it's like you said, like life is going to hit. Like there's going to be seasons where it's not always going to be consistent. So I think first of all, it's managing your expectations, knowing what season you're in. I think for me, I'm in a transition season where like I'm still in college. I've got a job lined up for next year. Like things are kind of all over the place. And so training sometimes, you know, with lifting or with certain things is not as dialed as I'd like it. Being okay because I've set my expectation to understand here's where I am in life. So I think just understanding what consistency will look like for you is the first step. I think it's, you know, we're at the beginning of January where everyone has these New Year's resolutions. I think everyone's motivated and very inspired. And I think if that is your driver, you will not be consistent because at some point you're going to die out. It's kind of like going out in spring, the first mile marathon. It's super exciting and there's fans everywhere. But by mile 4 and 5, when the crowd's thinned out and you really start to hurt, you're like, what now? And so I would encourage people to go off more discipline. And again, I talk about discipline in a lot of my videos. I think one, it's a learned skill. I think a lot of people think that it's just this trait that you just have or don't have. I'm a firm believer that it's a learned skill. And so I think for me, the past 3 years, just really working on being disciplined, I think has helped me be more consistent, especially this past 5 or 6 months at just probably the most disciplined I've been. But again, not to the point where I'm not having fun. I think you gotta find that balance, but it's knowing like, hey, like these are things that I'm going to do and it's non-negotiables for me. And I think that helps you be more consistent when there's not an option. It's like, hey, like run 6 days a week. Like that's what I'm doing right now. Got my one off day. It's on Sundays. And some weeks, it does change. Like life's going to happen. But I think those are some big things that help me be more consistent. Things that I try to pass on to the people I've coached or that I've run with or that come to my run clubs.
Yeah, having a non-negotiable is essential. And I think having a little bit of like leeway within that, where it's not like I have to do, 6 days of running, for example, and 6 hard days, it's like, okay, the non-negotiable is 6, but like you do 2 hard days, I think. So it's realistic, which
yes.
Yeah. Is essential.
Yeah.
So just in terms of the whole content creation and making videos, like how did that get started and what's your whole kind of like philosophy behind that?
Yeah. So man, I'm trying to think of the best place to start. I've always loved YouTube. I got my first MacBook in 7th grade and I remember like toying around with iMovie for different projects and loved making videos. There's a lot of running vloggers that I would watch throughout high school. And I always like, I'd love to do that. Like I'd love to do that. And then summer of 2022, I got to go volunteer at a church camp for a month. And the guy that was my boss, his wife is a pro trail runner. And so he's her videographer. And we would go, this is out in Flagstaff, and we would go out and just run these beautiful trails. And he videoed me the whole month. And so I put together this little reel at the end of the month and posted on Instagram. It got like 10,000 views. And I was like, I love making videos. And so I think that was when the seed was first planted. Finally, this time last year, like I told some friends, like I'm going to start a YouTube. I'm going to start a TikTok. Like I want to post running videos. And the first idea behind it was just like kind of montages, just like me out running. And that's what I started with. And then maybe about a month or two in, I finally posted my first like tips video. And it was, 8 things that have helped me become a healthier runner. And that was my first video that got 20,000 views. And that's when it first hit me, like, I could do running tips. Like that could be my, my niche that I'm focused on. And then kind of tried to start the YouTube in March of last year, but like just with my iPhone and like a pretty trashy mic, and ended up deleting that video and like actually starting it this August. I invested in, like a nicer camera, kind of planned out my videos more. And so that started, I guess at this point, 4.5 months ago, or five, I guess 5 months ago. And so it's been really cool. I think I've got a lot of plans for this upcoming year. I plan on starting my own podcast. So I'm excited for that. And I'm actually going to get outside of just running. I think my YouTube, I love doing running stuff, but I want it to be bigger than that. And so I think a video that I posted, a couple of weeks ago kind of made me realize that I could really make some cool videos when I begin to get into more the true health, fitness, and well-being, self-help side, all things I'm very passionate about and I think have changed my life. Because I do love running, but I think there is a ceiling with that, if that is all you're focused on, just because there's some people that don't run. But I do feel like there's so many parallels to life that running teaches you. And I want to be able to show those to people in ways that they can still enjoy and feel engaged. They don't run. That's how content, kind of came about. It's one of the first things I felt like, aside from running, just like so passionate about. I think there's things in life you can just tell, like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I felt that about this. And I've just felt not only disciplined to keep doing it and keep showing up, but just passionate and very motivated. Like I am motivated to post these videos, and having like this year, just the people that have been around me have been great. And I think have continued to push me to keep posting videos. And just the support that I've seen from the people close to me has been awesome. So it's been one of the coolest things that I've ever done. And I think that period of discomfort was frustrating. And I still I'm kind of in that still. Like I'm still figuring out what I want to do with this. But it's been so cool. Like I love doing it. It definitely is hard sometimes. But just the learning curve, and just the things I've learned in 5 months on, editing and just different stuff that's been super cool. So kind of a long answer, but that's kind of where I'm at with the content journey.
That's great. I don't want to say rare, but it's hard to see why someone would do a channel or, what's their motivation. And the fact that you're so clear about it, you enjoy it so much, is like really great to hear. And, speaking of people close to you, you had the video, how I found your channel, which, I really enjoy your channel. The videos are great. And as someone not experienced as you, I actually get a lot from them. So the video was with your family, with your dad, and I think your granddad as well. So, what inspired that video? And does the sort of the family element of running, does that like help you in your running?
Yeah. So I think with that video, that was a video I planned for a month. So at this point, like I was posting videos each Friday, which was great, but I was like, okay, I want to have like a documentary style video. I want to share with people why I run, like what have been my influences. I've had a lot of people pour into me, from coaches to family. I want to be able to be that for somebody else. I've been able to take a lot. I want to be able to give. And so for me, you know, my granddad he didn't start running until he was 40, but from the time he was 40 until he was 70, he ran 40,000 miles, ran in the New York Marathon, Boston Marathon, here in Chicago. So I grew up with knowing he was always a distance runner. And, you know, I didn't start running until I was in middle school, but my dad, I knew he ran track. He started, you know, he ran at Tennessee as well. And just the impact they had on my life, not just with running, but just with learning how to be a man and just the lessons. I mean, I couldn't think of two better people to look up to than those two men. And so I think family does play a huge part. They're the reason why I'm here today. They're huge supporters of what I do. I'm actually back at home right now. I'm living with them for this year, you know, to save some money. And that's been really cool for them to get to see that, because, you know, I didn't live with them for 4 years. So I think it's definitely like different now, 100% different than I was as a senior in high school, and just the things that I'm starting to do. I was a very much, you know, down the straight and narrow path kind of kid. I never would like to, you know, I was always like, I need to do the right thing, and never branched out or tried new things or took risks. And so it's been cool to have their support in trying those things, trying content, trying things that I never thought I would do. And I don't think they thought that I would do, just because of who I was for most of high school and my time growing up. They're a huge impact on me. And I think it makes me want to be that for my kids one day, as well as just the people that I'm posting content for. So I think it's given me this passion to post content that makes an impact. I think you can get so caught up in the numbers and views and all that stuff where you just care about getting the followers, and nothing that you're posting is actually making an impact on the human beings that are watching these videos. And so, you know, I want to be able to post videos that leave somebody very inspired, but also challenged to go. And that's why I want to go outside of just running, is because I think with life, we shouldn't live like an aimless life with no goals. It's great to have goals with running, but life as well. So that was a super cool video. Probably my favorite video that I've made so far. Just awesome to get to interview them and get to put that together. So that took about a month to make. Cool to just go down memory lane and get to kind of, like, you know, go back through the first time I started running, and just going back to, you know, my high school track and just stuff like that, which is, I was very thankful that my dad and granddad were, you know, down to hop in the video, which, a fun fact about us, we all share the same birthday.
Pretty interesting day for everyone.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
So your granddad started running at 40. What was I feel like there's a video right there. Is that a plan of yours?
I think I'd love to do another thing kind of similar to, you know, similar to the why I run, but, you know, maybe more focused on my granddad or my dad. But he wanted to lose weight. He just had a very stressful job, just wanted some sort of escape, just some way to kind of move his body around, and started running. And, you know, and even there, I still have not heard the full story on what really made him start, but it was just, he was kind of like, hey, like, I need to take care of my health. Then he's going to marathons. I mean, just the trophies that are in this room is kind of insane. He threw away like two-thirds of them. So he's got like a third of them left, and it still covers like half his room. So he was very successful for someone that just didn't start running until he was 40. But he's always been very disciplined, very, very, very practical man. So I think he's packed a lot of those traits down. You know, I think that those are things that I value as well. So how he applies that to his family, to the job that he had when he was still working, I think that showed me the impact that running and being disciplined with that can have on the other areas of, like, your life. So
yeah, I love that, making the videos about more than just yourself, bringing more people into it. That's a really great approach. You know, something you mentioned is the, like, training, like weight training in addition to the running, and you have a video on that as well, which I think is, like, so underrated. But obviously I'm biased as a personal trainer. I'm just like, everybody should do some resistance training if they can. So what's your opinion on it? And it's interesting for me to get more into running and see the likes of, you know, Kipchoge or Kiptum, who they seem to do a lot of band work, but, you know, I don't know exactly what they do. So I'm really curious to see, like, where could resistance training in the 1 to 5 rep range, like barbell training, fit in, if at all? And maybe I'm just totally uninformed. So yeah, I'm curious to see, you know, and hear what your opinion is on weight training.
Yeah, one, I think it's so essential. I think it depends on what your event is. You know, for me as an 800 meter runner, a lot of my lifts were geared towards speed, power, toward explosion that maybe a marathoner doesn't need to do. We were doing a lot more heavier lifts then. And so I think it's almost like a graph of knowing, based on how much volume you're doing with running, how much volume and like intensity you should be doing in the weight room. For guys that are marathoners, don't need to be loading their body with weight, you know, with too much weight. I do think that doing more single leg band work Things that are still going to load those, all the lower extremities are huge. I love core stability and core mobility work. That's stuff that kind of like helped my back. Like the, I'm able to run because of all the, rehab stuff that I did. And I think core stability and just leg mobility is huge for distance runners. But I think it really comes down to what your event is. I think I'm figuring out how to weight train now with doing more higher volume. I love a hybrid approach. That's this spring, I'm going to kind of focus on building volume up to race hard, one last time. And then in years to come, I'm still going to run, but I'm going to drop my mileage down to like 20 miles a week and focus more on strength, on getting in the weight room 2 or 3 times a week and really having more of a hybrid athlete approach. You know, guys like Nick Bear or Matt Choi that kind of have more of that style. And that's going to be, for me, a whole new venture. So that's going to take a lot of research because I do think it depends on the person. It depends on your injuries. I think part of the reason I got hurt was I wasn't in the weight room enough. The year that we kind of added a lot of volume, I think that's a slept on positive effect of strength training is injury prevention. And a huge reason why distance runners should lift is because it will prevent injuries. But I do think that some programs just do not focus on it. It's kind of interesting to just, I think the philosophies are just so different. I think everyone has their own take on how much or how little, or if you should at all. So I think it depends on the person, depends on the event. I'm a big proponent of at least some sort of strength training. I think you need to have it and it needs to be consistent, but it needs to be tailored to what your goals are. Are you trying to run a marathon or are you trying to be a 400 meter sprinter? And I think that depends on how you approach the weight room.
Got it. So then what specific leg exercises would you recommend? And then how would that differ for, let's say, the more endurance focused runners, for example, myself doing like halves and that kind of distance?
Right. So I think like squats is a perfect example. Like as an 800 meter runner, we were doing max squats. I would like max full squats. Like I would not recommend a half marathoner doing that. I think a barbell squat is fine, but like I love goblet squats because I can get a deeper range of motion. I'm not loading my spine, as well as I'm able to kind of control the weight a little bit more and still get the motion, get that compound lift that the squat does provide. So I think that's a perfect example. I love cleans. I think cleans for explosiveness are huge. Instead of doing like a power clean for distance runners, like a hang clean or even like a kettlebell swing, I think just, that's a perfect example. I love a lot walking lunges, dumbbell step ups. And we would do step ups with a barbell. So like all the sprinters would kind of have a barbell. I'd say for distance runners, like either go no weight or go light dumbbells. I think it's doing the same exercises, but just changing how you're loading with weight. I think core is necessary for everybody. I love doing band work. We had like a hip Pilates circuit that really helped strengthen my hips. We also just did a lot of band walks. I just think all that kind of movement is just huge. I think whether you're a sprinter or you're a half marathoner, I think band work is something that both can do. I love doing hurdle drills. I think that's something else that's kind of more the stretching side, but a good just way to move around when you're done with a run. That was something that I've not had this year. There's some things now that I'm not running track that I don't have the access to right now, which I think has made a difference on things. And so I'm still trying to figure out how to incorporate what I want to do with the resources I have. But yeah, that's some examples of how you could switch it up based on what event you're doing. And something else that I want to continue to do more research on as I continue to coach. And I plan on getting, my certified personal training license at some point. And so just learning those things, I think, will be a huge part of being able to help my clients if they're wanting to be a sprinter or if they're wanting to be, a half or full marathoner.
Yeah, it's like I would say resistance training is good for everybody, but like you said about modifying the load, it just kind of depends on the individual, the races they're running. So running, weight training, it's a lot to manage. And then of course there's recovery. So how do you sort of make sure you're getting enough recovery, and what tips do you have for people? Because like right now, so for example, my watch is telling me my recovery could be better. I'm doing a few different things, but of course I'm trying to learn like you are too. So what tips do you have for people who
sleep is always my biggest tip. And I think there's little things with sleep that are going to help your sleep performance. The time you go to bed and time you wake up, being consistent with that. I'm a huge proponent. I don't do screens the last and first hour of my day, which I think has also helped my sleep. I think when I'm done with runs, doing some sort of stretching before my runs, doing some sort of, like I love doing band work prior to runs or doing some sort of like quick squats, it could be air squats or some sort of lunges, just kind of getting those little muscles fired up. Like I'm a big, like I would just go out for a run, cold turkey it, go run, do nothing before, but I'm just starting to learn that just the impact that has on your body. And at some point, it it's going to catch up. And, you know, I kind of want to beat that and get to a point where, yeah, it's annoying to do band work, but it's going to be more annoying. My body's breaking down earlier than it should because I didn't think of those little things. And that's something I still struggle with. I think that's my biggest challenge right now is being consistent with the little things when no one's watching and no one's telling me I have to do that. But yeah, I think nutrition is a huge thing, you know, fueling before runs, but also fueling after. I would not eat before runs, like all through college, would never eat. Would go run for 13, 14 miles and then wonder why the rest of the day I could barely move. So fueling well, carbs before runs, you know, just some sort of quick source of energy. And then very big on getting food right after. So some sort of protein, all those micronutrients that's going to help your body feel good. And I think those are those three things, sleep, the nutrition side, as well as the stretching. Those three things, I think if you can dial that in, figure out what works for you, I think that makes such an impact. And again, it goes back to that thing that you it's hard to see the impact of it, but when you don't do it, it's very noticeable. You know, I kind of mentioned that earlier with another thing that we were talking about, but I think it's just those little things that are so easy to skip out on when we're just so busy and have to get out with a run and have to get to, and so that I think waking up early is also a huge thing. I'm a big morning run person. So I love to start my day with my run and then I'm able to have some time to stretch and to eat right and to do all those things instead of waiting till 4 or 5 PM to run. And then, you know, if I have a job, I've got to worry about that. Or there's just things that happen, life happens. And so I think being able to own the morning, maybe that's not a way that helps your body recover, but I think helps you focus on the things you need to do to help your body recover.
Yeah. Owning the morning and just getting it out of the way early. So it's kind of taken care of because it is difficult to run, but if you can have that approach of getting it done first thing or, you know, early and taking all those little steps like the stretch and the band work, it'll really make a big difference to your recovery. So yeah. Something you didn't mention is ice bath. I feel like everybody and their dog is doing ice baths. And I actually was just speaking to my coach yesterday and we were just saying, we think they're like completely overblown, overrated. Everything you just mentioned there, if you focus on those ice baths, in my opinion, don't particularly make sense. But what's your opinion on ice baths? Do you do them? Would you recommend them to clients?
Yeah, I think it depends. I mean, I think it goes back, like I had a couple different trainers in college. I had one trainer that was like, you better not step in the ice tub. And I had another coach that was like, this is a mandatory thing we're doing each week. I really liked doing contrast baths. So again, this is an example of something I don't have access to right now. When I had the training room, I was able to go and do my contrast bath, you know, once or twice a week. It kind of depended. I think my body's gotten used to not doing it. I think with a cold bath or, you know, with an ice bath, I think one, like doing a cold plunge to start your morning, I think outside of just the running effects, I just think the effects it has mentally, I think that I would do it more for that, for running recovery, if that makes sense. I think it kind of like stops inflammation, but sometimes I think, and again, I'm not a medical professional, so I'm not going to just say like, I feel like for me, the ice bath, if I had some aches and pains, while it made the inflammation kind of go away, I felt tighter after and kind of moving around. That's why I like doing a contrast bath and going some hot and some cold. I thought it was like a good shock for my nerves. And there's some people that are like completely against contrast baths. So I just think there's so many philosophies out there. I think you just got to find one that matches what you care about and stick with it. But for me, I don't really do either just because I don't have access. I do some Epsom salt baths like once or twice a week at the day of my long runs. I usually will soak in one. And I do think that has a positive, but I just don't think you should overdo them because it's kind of like a crutch. If you do them so much, like you almost need to have them. And I think it needs to be kind of well-placed, like once a week would be a fine amount to do. That's kind of my opinion. I'm still figuring it out. I think it'll be interesting if I have access to my actual ice tub again, if I change my mind, but that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah. Like there's just, I feel like so many bigger rocks or bigger kind of levers to pull that would have a bigger benefit, like the sleep, the nutrition, what your actual training plan is.
Right. And I think that's something too, is it goes back to a social media and what sells. And I think with the David Goggins approach and with the ice baths and the 5 AM wake ups, like that's all shock factor. It's going to get views. But I think those things, again, it's only one piece of the pie, and doing an ice bath to start your morning is not going to like change your life. Like, sure, it's one thing, but it's like, it has to be with everything. You know, it's kind of person that finds a hack on TikTok for eating healthier, but they wonder why they're still struggling with weight gain. It's like, that's one piece of the puzzle. I think people get that confused. It's like there's so many factors and that can be overwhelming, but I think that's the importance of having a coach and having accountability. But you can't just change one thing and expect all of a sudden to see results.
Exactly. Yeah, it's going to take an accumulation of a lot of different micro habits. So one factor that's like really important to me is, you know, mindset. And you mentioned gratitude actually a lot as well, which is something I want just to get your take on. But for mindset specifically for running, what's things that have helped you, things that, you know, you've helped with clients or that you can pass on to anyone who's struggling? Because for me, it's been a case of thinking, trying to have like a sort of 10-year approach, which sounds a bit crazier. It's like, how do you action 10 years? But I kind of want the results like yesterday. I'm like impatient. So it's just, that's what's helped me. But yeah, what can you pass on?
Yeah, I think one, the results are a byproduct. And I think when you're so focused on that, you're kind of forcing it and you're going to see those results kind of get further away. Like with, you know, with my races, if I was like, I have to run this time, I'm clutching this goal so tight and I wonder why I get there. Instead of just having this nothing to lose mindset where you're just saying, hey, like, I'm going to control what I can control. And I think that sums it up. That has to be your mindset where like you take care of like the controllables. And if you're doing that to the best of your ability, the results are going to come. It might not be as quick as you want, or maybe like there's also times where like I didn't hit all my college goals, but like the journey doesn't end there. I think that's something too, is like, it's a season. Sure, like maybe you didn't hit this one goal, but now you've learned this lesson for the next adventure. I think another thing is not comparing. I think for me, I'm telling myself that with content because I'm seeing other guys or other girls that are catching steam or getting big, getting followers or getting these brand deals, going on these podcasts. And I'm like that, you know, that I think I should be there or I should. And it's just like, hey, like keep focusing on what you're doing. That's making videos, you know, that's being passionate about the things that like you care about. And if that's supposed to happen, that's going to happen. And I think when that's your mindset, like it just takes pressure off this, like I need to have this happen. And so that's something that I try to tell people I've coached is just like, hey, like show up, be consistent, starts with discipline and just control the things that you can control. And at the end of the day, that's the rest is out of your hands. And I just think it decreases that like anxiety that comes with training and, you know, racing. And so I think that's kind of my biggest tip with mindset. I think mindset could be a whole nother episode because I think there's so much to it and kind of a cool journey that I've been on is just figuring out my own mindset, how to approach training and approach it in a healthy way where I'm pushing myself but not pushing too hard. And it's just, there's so much there that really interests me. But I think those three words kind of sum up what I would tell most people in, you know, in regards to how they should approach mindset.
Totally. Yeah. The controlling the controllables is huge and it's easy to get away from that. And then also not comparing again with social media. It's like, it's almost like built into social media that you compare, but it just doesn't help anybody. And just the last point is on gratitude. Like, why is that such a big part for you of your running?
Yeah, I think it goes back to it, you know, being a gift. I think the Lord's blessed me with this talent. And the minute that I make it about, I need to get all these things, I'm going to be greedy, I'm going to like, this is me. I think I want to lose that joy. And for me, I saw the effect of that mindset with college running and it kind of came crashing down. And I think why I'm so grateful is like with that back injury, you know, there were some doctors that were like, you might not be able to run again the way that you ran. And it was like, that was a slap in the face of like running, whether I wanted it to be or not, like it became who I was. Like running was who I was. And I let that define me. And my mindset now is like, I'm going to be grateful because I can run again. I can enjoy this. And this is part of my life that I'm so thankful for because 10 months ago, or I guess now a year and a half ago, I didn't know if I'd ever run again. Like I didn't know what was going to happen when I couldn't stand up barely or barely. So I think it comes, that gratitude comes from almost losing it. And I think some people necessarily don't. I didn't feel that gratitude for most of college or for most of high school. So I sometimes think it's almost losing something or losing something to make you realize the gravity that has and being grateful. So I harp on that so much. And there's some people that maybe just don't feel that because they haven't had that experience and that's okay. But I think it's something that I want to continue to preach because it's just like such a huge part of who I am and what's allowed me to continue, to run and to enjoy this gift.
Yeah, I love that. It's like a positive shock factor of the injury where you took away what you took for granted and now you appreciate it more and you're more grateful. So it's a great outcome. So Preston, this has been great. Thanks very much for the time. Is there any kind of final message, links or content you have coming up that you want to mention to people?
Thanks so much for having me on. I say first, YouTube this year, going to have a podcast coming out. It's going to be a video podcast on my YouTube. It's also going to be on Spotify. Excited for those. It's going to be more than just running. It's going to be have a lot of different stuff on there in that self-help space, health, fitness, you know, well-being, hoping, you know, to really have that take off. And we'll see how it goes. Aside from that, you know, the Run Yours page has group runs for anyone in Knoxville, Tennessee, but I am moving to Dallas. in June. So I'm excited to kind of scale my, you know, brand when I'm down there. This is kind of a trial run this next little bit. I accepted a job down there in Dallas. So excited to see where things go. I have a lot of stuff in store. So planning on launching a self-guided journal at some point in this next year to kind of go into more of the mindset stuff that we talked about and some of the things that has helped me with not only running, but life in general. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, if you don't follow me on YouTube already, at Preston Ruth, try to do videos each Friday, but really like 2 or 3 times a month. So just stay tuned for more content. And yeah, Ross, I appreciate you having me on, man.
I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out, and we'll stay in touch.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good, Ross.